Well, good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble. Apparently, I hit the wrong button. I'm not quite sure what to do. But anyway, we're running through kind of a experimental time here at the radio station. We're kind of changing our format and having different people do different things. And I'm kind of inept at all the things. Now, had this been 20 or 30 years ago, I did have my, what they call the first phone, which meant I was an engineer, a radio engineer, but everything, and believe me, when I say everything has changed, I mean it. I remember I used to help the sound engineer at the Army Field Band after our trio moved on. Two of the guys left before I left, so there was no trio anymore, so I wasn't singing anymore. So they put me in charge of being a sound engineer. I really enjoyed it, and I learned a lot of stuff, but it took a while to learn all the stuff. But one of the things I had to do is record the band. And when you record something, you also have to edit, and to edit it, hang on, I got to check one more thing here. Apparently, I'm okay. Things are rolling. To edit it, you had to splice 2-inch tape. Now, if you've ever tried to splice regular tape recording tape, you usually do it on a diagonal, and there's a little block that you cut it in. And it's easy. You can cut out a certain amount of space, and you scotch tape it back together, believe it or not. Well, on 2-inch tape, we didn't have that type of block. So we had to make our own, and splicing 2-inch tape together is a lot different than splicing 1/4-inch tape, because it's a lot harder to make it precise. But learned a lot of things that last 6 months with the United States Army Field Band. When I was thinking about doing the show today, I really had no idea, because things are a little confused and I wasn't quite sure what they wanted me to do. My show is called A Progressive Life, and we're going to do that probably once a week. And on the other week, I'm going to work towards finding people that will come in and give us information about the city. One of the things that we've lost recently because of another radio station dropping their local broadcasting is local information. And so I'm looking to see if I can find a bunch of interested people in adding to our knowledge about Marion and about the surrounding area. But one of the, people that can give us information about dates and give us information about what's going on. And, I will probably contact the Visitors Bureau, and I understand the state police had done some shows like that on other stations. And I'm going to just try to find out how we can talk more about Marion so you can be proud of the city that you're from, or the county you're from, actually. WWGH does cover just about the entire county. And if you know somebody that you think would be good at it, or if you would like to help us out, and it would be like doing a gig once, I'm using the vernacular of a former musician, the gig or the show. If you know somebody that would be good at doing a show like that, it would be like once a month. We would do, I'd try to get 4 or 5 different people that we could bring in once a month to tell what's going on in their world, either information or scheduling. Let your mind run crazy. If you know somebody like that, or if you are interested in helping out, let me give you my email address, and you can just send under the subject WWGH guest. Put it under that subject, WWGH guest, and send me a name, what area of expertise, and a phone number where I can contact you or that person. I'd prefer to contact the person that's suggesting this rather than surprising somebody and saying, "Hi, I understand you're interested in helping WWGH talk about Marion," and that person says, "I had never heard anything about it." So give me your number, whether you're the person that's guessing, or not guessing, offering the guest, or you are the guest. I'd like to hear from you. I'm not sure whether it'll work. We're just kind of, that was one of my ideas when I was talking to Scott the other day. And I thought, what the heck? If I put it out on the air and some people start to volunteer, maybe it would help out. I'm not sure I can do two complete shows. And they're asking me to do a show on Wednesday and a show on Thursday at this time. The nice thing about it is I'm sandwiched right up against Charlie. Charlie has a great audience, and I love listening to him. We tried to help him get on the air today. I'm not sure I did a very good job, but anyway, that's what we did today. Being bumped right up against his show should help my audience. My audience is kind of reticent to contact, to talk. My stuff that I talk about is not nearly as, friendly as Charlie. Charlie has a terrific way of being friendly with everybody. He's such a nice man. And my show tends to talk about problems. And I try not to I'm trying to think of the word. I try not to be antagonistic towards my listeners. As a matter of fact, I guard against that as much as I can. I truly believe that one of our problems in America right now is we have failed to listen to our fellow man. You'll have to excuse my voice today. For some reason or other, I have a ball of cotton deep in my throat, and it's hard to get out. But anyway, back to my show, A Progressive Life. We talk about everything under the sun politically. I will probably talk about the stuff that's going on right now between our president and the four ladies who are freshmen congresswomen, that seems to be a little bit, not a little, but is quite controversial. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about what we can do to make the United States a better place to live for all of us. We all do share this few hundred thousand square miles, just a little close neighborly spot. But that's kind of what brings me around to what I was going to talk about today. I have my show is going to be pretty much the second in, if you listened to me 3 weeks ago before they changed the format, I talked about the first half of my trip to California. And I kind of thought of myself as the poor man's Charles Kuralt of travel. And we took our little car all the way out to Ojai, California, which is where my son lives with his lovely wife and his dog and cat. And they live on a vineyard, and he is the in charge of creating the wines at this place. He also teaches, and I think you would call it special education is what he teaches. But we spent about 2 weeks getting out there and spending about 10 days with them. And so my first show was kind of talking about going across the country that direction. Beautiful country. Once you get to New Mexico New Mexico and Arizona, some pretty wild looking country. You know, it's just like turning on 1950s cowboys shows on TV. You see all the bluffs, and it goes on forever, and there is no end to the sky unless you bump up against a butte or you bump up against a rather tall mountain that just kind of poke out of nowhere. So it was kind of nice. Can't honestly say that Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, that's the way, and Missouri are much to look at. They are for people that are coming from the other direction. They haven't seen corn as long as you can look. But there is a lot of corn in those states in between. Corn and wheat. But I did get to drive by my basic training area, Fort Leonard Woods. That was a chunk of 9 weeks out of my life that it was quite interesting. I'm just going to leave it at that. I learned a lot, and I'm glad I did it. I'm not really quite sure what I learned, but I did learn a lot of things. But anyway, now the second half of my Charles Kuralt travelogue will be going from we left Ojai and decided to take the southern route across the United States, which we had taken half of already, but we decided to drive from Ojai, California to it's called Fuquay Varina, North Carolina, and it's easier to say it's south of Raleigh. So we drove 2,656 miles, stopping at a motel chain, and I won't give them a plug. Some of their rooms are good, some of them were not so good, but we stayed at the same motel chain all the way across the United States both ways, learned a lot about it. We were mainly looking for economy. A trip like that is not cheap. And the gas prices out in California, as we left California, the gas prices were starting to creep back up, but they were at $3.59 a gallon when we left. And they kept creeping back down as we went across to North Carolina. Now, as we all know, they kind of zoomed here recently. So the gas prices... the overall trip price was quite expensive. I haven't put it all together. I'm quite kind of afraid to do that. But we took the same route back through New Mexico and Arizona. And then when we got to Texas, we stayed south. We went basically the entire way on Route 40. And all the way across Route 40, they keep telling you about Route 66. And I guess you can see it from Route 40 at places, and it crosses over. But I think we stopped a couple different places. We stopped at a gas station on Route 66. Route 66 supposedly was the highway of the United States for a long time, and there are all sorts of memorabilia places on the way. places, giant teepees, big hot dogs. We didn't see any of that. We stayed pretty much on Route 40 because you can do 75 miles an hour all the way from someplace in California all the way. I believe I went all the way to North Carolina at 75 miles an hour. Now, when my wife drove, and she drove quite a bit, when she drove, we probably dipped it back down to 65 miles an hour. I can tell you that I saw a lot of angry faces as they went by, but I just closed my eyes and went back to sleep. For some reason or other, people don't like it when you're driving 65 miles an hour in a 75 mile an hour zone. That's the speed that my wife felt comfortable at, and that's all I care about. So, and anyway, we went, we got through Texas, and I believe the first place we hit Arkansas, and we found that Arkansas is, I'm trying to remember the name of the town that we stayed in Arkansas. I think it was Elk City, Arkansas. And it's a pretty state. It's a very pretty state. Lots of trees, lots of hills. It surprised the heck out of me as we went across Arkansas. There weren't very many places to stop on the route. And I believe they kind of do that on Route 40. We noticed that a lot of states actually, it's apparent to us, my wife and I, that they put up vegetation so you won't, be drawn off the road or something like that. Huge trees on both sides of the road, and if you peek through the trees, you might see a railroad crossing. You might see a big lake, a little lake, a river. You might see a school, but the trees are in front of you, so you don't really pay much attention. I'm not sure if that's done by plan, design, or whatever. So we went across Arkansas. We got to went north a little bit on Route 40 and went through Tennessee. Tennessee is pretty much the same way. The speed limit at places was a little lower, but it did jump up to 75 where the road was straight and kind of remote. I was shocked at how little we saw of Tennessee. I figure, you know, we saw lots of exits going to, Dollywood. Is that... That probably wasn't the right one I'm thinking of. But there were lots of exits going to amusement things. But we never saw them. We just kept going at 75 miles an hour, straight ahead. Meanwhile, our little puppy dog, Cheyenne, slept. She slept the whole way. It was wonderful. She's got getting up in years. She's 15 years old, so she's kind of relaxing, and she's in her retirement as well as we are in our retirement. And we got across most of Tennessee, and then we stayed outside of Memphis. It was pretty far outside of Memphis, but that's where we stayed there. There was something big going on. I can't remember what it was in Memphis, but the price of our motel room jumped about double. And it was a little town, and I wish I had written all this down before I came to do the show today. I didn't even think about it, but the little town had for a whole weekend... Their big thing, they didn't have a popcorn festival. What they had is a water slide festival. And they would put Visqueen or some form of plastic on a lot of their streets, which it was very hilly. And then they would run city water down them so the kids could, or the adults, could slide all the way down a long hill. And I always worried, there are potholes on many streets in Marion. And I imagine if you hit a pothole while you're doing 30 miles an hour on a layer, a thin layer of water, I imagine you could get hurt. But that's what they did. And it was a 3-week thing or a 3-day thing. And it doubled the price of the room that we stayed in. And it was 4th of July, and I figured, well, that's why the price went up. I said to the guy, so I suppose that's why the price went up. He said, oh, no, 4th of July was our normal price. We were there on the 5th of July, and that was the beginning of this festival that they had. And that's why the price went up. So anyway, It was quite interesting. We finally made it into Fuquay Arena, and North Carolina is an interesting state. I enjoy North Carolina. I wouldn't want to live there. My daughter lives there, so she can hold up the family tradition in North Carolina. I spent about 3 days. I wanted to watch my kids, my grandkids, play some different sports. And so that's what I did there. And then I decided to drive back. My wife decided that she wanted to stay there and spend a couple of weeks with the grandkids, which was fine. And we do that quite often because she likes to get some quantity time in, and I prefer quality time, and plus I had other things to do, like radio shows, and so I headed on back to Marion after that. It took me about 10 hours to drive from Fuquay Arena to Marion. I had one stop on the way, which was my eldest son in Worthington. And so that added a little time. I got to see all three of my children, which I hadn't seen in a matter of 2 weeks, for a long, long time. We don't get together at Christmas. Somebody usually comes to our house at Christmas, but it's never the same. And so this is the first time, I think, that my I have seen all three of my children in a 2-week period, probably since my eldest son left college a long time ago. Well, hey, we've got this contest going on, and I'm supposed to find a winner a person that's going to get the opportunity to win tickets to some of the featured acts down at the state fair. And I'm not exactly sure how it works, but if you'd be interested in having the opportunity to win free tickets to the state fair, and I think it's probably going to be that you'll get to pick what you can go to. And there are all sorts of big name groups that you can go see. And we have tickets to them all, I guess. I'm going to ask this one question, and I'm going to ask it a couple of times just to give you a chance, because I was not very good. I did not plan to do this. And so I pulled this one out of a hat real quickly. I've always been interested in the names of groups of animals, like a group of crows, I believe, is called, oh, jeez, now I've forgotten it. And that's not the trivia question I'm going to ask, but it's become one to myself. A court, is it? No, a congress. A group of crows is called a congress, I believe. And, you know, there are all sorts of different groups that have all sorts of names. But this one kind of stuck in my head. I thought, what a great name. And actually, there are three names for a group of kangaroos. And if you can get any one of the three names, and I'll give you all three of them after somebody gets one of them, you will be our winner today. And all you have to do is call 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH. And if you know the name of a group, what the name of a group of kangaroos is. I had not heard this one before, and that's why I picked it. I'll ask the question again in a few minutes. So if nobody contacts us on this to start with, and I'll give you another chance at the same thing. Anyway, the one of the things I've always loved to do throughout my life is travel. And since we started on the Charles Kuralt reunion trip, I'll tell you about some of the travels I've made. When I was young, when I was 17, my folk trio toured Europe. And that was probably the biggest tour of my life. If you've ever gone to England, it's like, well, back then, it was like walking into a different world. It was everything I expected it to be, and then some. And everybody was quaint, is the only word I can think of. Because we played halls, we played places that were out in the boonies. We would go to like a township hall and play gigs. We also had the opportunity when we were in England to play on BBC, which is their national television. And I think I may even mention this before. We got on stage and everything was live. And the director pointed his fingers at us and we were supposed to play. And we started to play, and Joe's guitar, or Joe's banjo, Joe was one of the three of us. There was Joe, Bob, and Glenn. And Joe's banjo was so out of tune, we couldn't go on. And immediately Joe realized that he had allowed a young lady to hold on to his banjo while we were getting stuff ready. And the heat from her hands had made the strings completely detuned. Now, they weren't so completely detuned that you couldn't recognize the sound, but they were so detuned that we couldn't play and sing to it. So we had to retune it. And Joe looked at the camera and said, "Can you turn this thing off?" And the director just shook his head. So we had to kind of vamp for about 30 seconds while Joe tuned his banjo. And then we played our folk music, and we were quite well accepted. I enjoyed that. As a matter of fact, if you're ever interested, we cut a couple of albums while we were in this folk trio called the Overland Singers. Every once in a while, you'll find our album on Amazon. On our album, there are pictures of us over Monte Carlo and hanging out at, I'm trying to remember where all the pictures are from, in Paris. And that was kind of a neat deal in Paris. We went to Paris after... I can't remember the name. It was the Tet Offensive, or one of the offensives that we had taken in Vietnam, and the French absolutely hated us at that particular point in time. We weren't allowed to play in the casinos that we were expecting to play in and that we had booked into. So Joe, Bob, and Glenn took our instruments. Now, mind you, I was carrying an upright bass. That's one of those big, tall ones. Okay. We took our instruments out onto the streets, and we played in the shadow of the Arc de Triomphe. We played in the shadow of Notre Dame, which is now a different shadow. We played on the little streets and in the bistros. And we just had a great time. And surprisingly enough, we were paid to take this tour, but we probably made more money in Paris with people throwing donations to us than any place else. Also, in Paris, that was about the time that they came out with the silver dollar that was real silver with President Kennedy on it. And we had been told that they would be worth more money than a dollar when we got there. So each of us took a roll of those. And I think we sold them, each one of them. We got at least about $4 for each one of them. So we made some money that way, too. That the trip was just fantastic. We went to England. We went to Amsterdam. And Amsterdam is quite a place to go to, especially when you're a young man. I didn't drink. I was a college football player, so I was pretty straight arrow, and we were allowed to drink there. Then we found out that prostitution was legal in Amsterdam, so we went and looked at the sites. But that's really all we did. We looked at the sites. We did nothing else. Excuse me while I reach into my, I was getting a phone call. I've been getting phone calls lately. Have you been getting a lot of phone calls on your cell phone trying to sell you all sorts of crap? I have. I've put this cell phone number on a do not call list at least 3 times. I think each time they just enhance the number of calls they make to us. Anyway, we went to Switzerland and went up on a mountain on one of those gondolas, which was fantastic. It was so beautiful and so cold up on the top of the mountain. We went up in shirt sleeves because it was summer, and it would have been a good idea to take a sweater at least. We had a great time there, and then we had a lovely trip along the Mediterranean, which included many sites, the French Mediterranean, Italian, Monaco, and that was just gorgeous, and I'm sure they still are. I follow a lot of, I watch a lot of TV shows, travelogue shows, because I've always loved to travel, and it looks a lot like it used to. I'm sure with all the people in their cell phones, the manner of talking and interchange with each other is quite different than it used to be. But it was a lovely, I think it was 3 weeks, something like that, and then we came back. Some other places that I've been lucky enough to travel to, when I was with the United States Army Field Band, we toured the entire United States. I've been to all states except for one. I have not been to Alaska. That's an interesting story too. Before I left Ohio University, I was with the athletic department at Ohio University, and right before we left, I was asked to leave there. We got a new president, and he basically got rid of all the male people in the athletic department because he wanted to bring his own people in. But I had arranged it through one of my former students. I used to teach students in their graduate classes about sports administration. And one of my former students was working at the University of Alaska, and he had arranged that Ohio University would play at the Great Alaska Shootout or whatever it was called. And the year before, I'd been able to go to Hawaii with the team. But this year, because they had decided that they were going to change the staff, I missed. So that I had arranged it. I would have been able to go to all my favorite states, all 50 of them. But I missed Alaska because I was removed from the position that was going there. So I've been to every state. My favorite state of all time has to be Hawaii. And not just because of the warmth, but the foliage. And I'm big into, I love flowers and I love plants and stuff like that. And that's why I do a show called The Progressive Life. Anyway, I'm into a lot of that sort of thing, and I really did enjoy going to Hawaii. But I missed out on going to Alaska, and I feel bad about that. But another state that I absolutely love now, and especially now that my son lives there, is California. What a beautiful state, but it's so huge. I can understand why people think they ought to divide it into three more states. I don't think it's going to happen, but I can understand that. Again, that question, the question of the day is, can you name what a group of kangaroos are called, is called? It's a group, so it is called. Plural kangaroos, but the group is singular. I'm pretty certain that's right. Mrs. Bowman is jumping up. She was my English teacher in high school. She's jumping up in the back of my mind. 740-383-9944. 740-383-WWGH. Anyway, what is a group of kangaroo called? All right. Anyway, when I was with the Army Field Band, we got to play Washington, D.C. We got to play the inaugural. I marched in Nixon's inaugural parade. With the field band, we also got to travel down to Quito, Ecuador, and we went through all the Central American states, the Caracas, Nicaragua, and Panama City in Panama, and all the places that are in trouble right now, sending their people north because of all the bloodshed and the hate that's going on down there. But anyway, we went all the way down to Quito, Ecuador, which is the only time I've ever been south of the equator. And I think Quito is about 8 miles south of the equator. So I didn't make it by much, but I did make it. I thought we'd get some sort of award for doing that, but we did not. I think if we'd been at sea, we'd have been thrown overboard or something. I don't know what they do, but it was an interesting place. And now I'm going to make some people not very happy with what I'm going to tell you about Quito, Ecuador. But I didn't know it when it happened. I got off alone. Oh, by the way, while we were in Quito, somebody threw a fake bomb up on a stage while we were playing, which tended to rattle a lot of people, including yours truly. But anyway, nothing happened. It was fake. While we were there, I got separated from people intentionally. I wanted to go see what was going on, and I didn't speak much Spanish, but I had a touch that I could say hi and goodbye and how much and where's the bathroom. I think that's about it. I did know a few of the words, and I was going through the town and decided I was hungry, so it was lunchtime. So I went to this little shop right on the street where it said, that they had food. And I went up and I asked and really struggled, and the lady understood it. And I kind of blurted out, what's good, what's good here? And she said, carne y con papas. Oh, that means meat and potatoes. I know that. Sure, that's what I'll have. I found out later that they raised dogs for the meat. At least back then they did. I was really mortified, and they're not little fluffy puppies. They're big, fat, white dogs, or at least they were. I hope they've stopped doing that. Anyway, it kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies if you know what that word means. I don't, but I've used it a lot. My mom used it a lot. There are a lot of words that I use that my mom used that I have no idea what they mean. I know what they mean to me. I don't know what they really mean. And let's see, where other places that I've been lucky enough to go to. One of the real wonderful sights that I got to see was Yellowstone. And several of you are friends of Bill and Marg Clark, and they, I think, are still there right now. They're taking a tour of the world of the United States. They may have left Yellowstone today or yesterday. I follow them on Facebook, but I haven't looked recently. And it's a wonderful place to go. If I had one place to go other than where my family lives, and as a senior, I can go to all the national parks for a half price, or at least a well-reduced price. Anyway, that is a place to go. To see the, you know, Old Faithful is just one of the sites. And it's kind of the star of the of that area. But there are so many things to see and so many animals. I had a rather interesting week this week after coming north from Fuquay Varin. I found out that our puppy dog had apparently left a few flea bugs behind. And so we got into the house, and obviously over a month they had multiplied. And so I had to bomb the house. It's still not perfect, but anyway, I had to bomb the house. And so I decided I'd take my puppy dog and we'd go down to the Delaware State Park. And that's another neat thing. Being a senior, you can go to any state park. I think it's Monday through Thursday, and spend the night at half price. So it cost me, I think, $27 for two nights. You can't find a motel anywhere close to that. But we spent a couple nights down there while the house was disinfecting. And it was wonderful. On the morning, on Tuesday morning or Monday morning, I don't remember which. One of the mornings we were there, we were driving to go get some ice, I believe. And when I say we, my dog and I, and we came across the smallest fawn I have ever seen in my life. It couldn't have been taller than 2 feet tall. It was tiny, and we couldn't find its mommy anywhere. I'm sure she was out there in the brush watching us, but we couldn't see her. And the little fawn got across the road and went into the tall grass on the other side of the road, and we kept going. And I thought, well, that is just beautiful. And it makes you feel all warm inside when you see something like that. Anyway, or at least it makes me feel all warm inside. I'm sure there are some hunters that are warm inside thinking about when that deer grows up, that'll be something they can put on their wall. But anyway, the little fawn has another week to live or whatever, and I just love seeing it. The next day at the exact same place, not so handsome, possum ran across in front of us, and they're kind of ugly little critters. That was one of the things I saw down in Arkansas on the side of the road. Unfortunately, he had met his demise, was an armadillo. And I even slowed down so I could make sure it was an armadillo. And sure enough, it was an armadillo. And I even looked it up on my phone when we got to the motel that night. And, yep, there are armadillo down there. Do you know that there are alligators in, I think, every body of water in Florida, and most bodies of water in Georgia, and I think maybe South Carolina? It kind of scared me because my grandchildren, live in North Carolina, and there are alligators in North Carolina, too. They're not on every body of water, but there are lots of them. And I'm not so certain I want I have one grandson who is an avid fisherman. He just loves to take off and go fishing at these ponds around their house that he can walk to. I'm not so certain I like that idea. So far, they haven't seen anything like an alligator, but I'm not sure you'd see it until it was too late. So anyway, all right. on our trips around the country and around the world. I really enjoyed when I was very young, and I'm trying to remember the year. Probably, let's see, 46, 56, about 60, about 1960, I guess it was. My father and mother decided to take a little trailer, much like the one I own right now, but the one we took was probably smaller and didn't have a bathroom in it. We had a little porta potty. If you had to go, you could do that. But my little trailer now has not only a shower, a bathroom, it has a kitchen, TV, and air conditioning, and a furnace, and hot water heater. It's got everything. As a matter of fact, it qualifies as a second home. thank you to my tax man for telling me that. But the we took this little fan trailer out to Seattle to the World's Fair. I'm pretty sure it was 1960. I was about 14, and we got to see the World's Fair, and it was Seattle is a beautiful, beautiful city. And we got to go up on the Space Needle. That was kind of scary, but it was beautiful up on top, and it goes around, but it goes around so slowly you really don't notice it that much. You'll look up after eating something that took you 30 seconds to eat, and you can see that you've moved a little. That's about it. It doesn't go whizzing around in circles. But on the way out there, Mount Hood is just beautiful off in the distance. You need to go to that part of the country before you shake these chains that hold us here, because it's beautiful country, full of greenery, full of hills and mountains, full of smells that you don't get around here, and they're very nice smells. They're not like the pig stalls and stuff like that. But it's just beautiful country there. We went to through all the Montana and Bend, Oregon, and all those states up in the Northwest. They're just beautiful. And I got to meet Nat King Cole. Well, I didn't really meet him. I happened to sit down on a park bench, and I sat right next to him, and I looked over and I thought, boy, that man looks familiar. And then I realized who it was. But being kind of shy, which I really wasn't, but when I saw somebody that was that famous, I became shy. I didn't say anything to him. I just looked at him and smiled and nodded, and that was about it. I think I was waiting for my folks who were getting either going to the bathroom or getting some fair treat. And then he got up and left. Interesting how life gives you these moments of interest that you can remember all your life. One of the moments of my interest is when a dog took my left cheek out of my face by jumping at me and ripping my face open. Anyway, that we won't go into that because that wasn't travel. I turned out just fine. I was 6 years old at the time, and I remember it quite well because I had to walk home. I was on my way to school when it happened, and I had to walk home. Nobody would stop as I was walking up a street, and I know I was bleeding like a stuck pig, but anyway, I finally got home, and my parents took me to a hospital, and they sewed it all back up. Anyway, one place I'd like to go to that I've never been, I would love very much to go to Japan. I don't know what there is. My father, when he was a minister, he was invited to tour with the National Council of Churches people. And they went to Korea and Japan, and a couple other of those places in the Orient. I think they were south of that. But anyway, I remember hearing the tales about Korea. He met Chiang Kai-shek when he was in Korea. That really dates us. But the tales that he told about Korea were just amazing. And now, at this time, the Korean War, well, is still going on, apparently, but the Korean police action had been stopped, or at least been the treaty had held, or whatever it was, the agreement had held, and there were no hostilities going on. So my dad was safe over there, but he talked about the tension that there was in Korea back then. I'm just trying to see what I'm going to do next. He also, in Japan, he had pictures of all the temples that are in Japan, and Mount Fuji, or is it Fujiyama? Yeah, Mount Fujiyama. Is that right? And he had pictures of all that. Everywhere my father went, he took pictures of mountains. I still don't understand why he did that, but he took pictures of mountains. I guess mountains are beautiful, but they all look alike to me. He was one of those guys that every Christmas people kind of went, oh, do we really have to go visit Reverend Coble? Because he was going to make them sit down, and he was going to show them pictures of mountains. Now, my wife's father was a phenomenal photographer. He was a doctor, but he was also a phenomenal photographer, and he took nothing but flowers, and people got a little tired of looking at that, too. Anyway, one last try at the question. Do you know the name of a group of kangaroo? What is the name of a group of kangaroo? You got a couple of minutes to call, and then we will get out of here. Trying to see where we go from here. I'm not sure who comes in. I may have to vamp. I hope you will tune in to us. We're going to be on Wednesday and Thursday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock. We're going to be talking about some serious stuff that's going on in the public eye right now. I've completed going through the Mueller report, so I will probably talk to you about things that I read in there. I will try to not tell you one single lie. I will try to not judge the way my audience feels about things that I say. And I will hope that you will give me the opportunity to say them. And you will have the opportunity to call in and tell me what you think. So that's what we're hoping for. I will probably be able to figure out where the heck I am on this this show. I've got about 1 minute to figure out where I'm supposed to go. And then I'm supposed to send you to another site. I hope you will tune in. Don't forget Wednesday and Thursday. Now, I'm going to be on tomorrow right before Charlie Everett. And he's better at giving away stuff, so maybe he can give away some of this stuff. And I hope you have enjoyed today's show. We will get better at this. And we're kind of doing this without an engineer, so that's why I'm a little confused at where we're going. But it will get better. Now, there may be a little bit of dead air here when I switch off here in about 10 seconds. And please hang with us. We'll be back on.